Staples knows that when the leave behinds for your sales call get left behind at your office, it's time. When you need to print 30 pages and you're 300 miles from the office, it's time. And when the intern packed the Harrington file, not the Farrington file.
Ugh, my bad.
It's definitely time. And it's times like these when you can count on Staples. Access your files from email, the cloud, or USB, and then print, copy, fax, or scan them, and get back to business fast. Visit your nearby Staples. It's pro time.
Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, all three engines up and burning, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, stand a little taller, doesn't mean I'm lonely when I'm alone. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, what that keeps you lighter, doesn't mean I'm over.
Hello everyone, and thank you for tuning in for my Earn 8 Clarity Unplugged show here on Coach on Fire Radio Network. This is your host, Meena Balani. It's great to have you here. If you are listening in live, I have an amazing person online with me here today, Meera Rutter. Before I introduce her, just to remind you, it is a live show. If you want to drop us a message, do so on my personal Facebook page, Meena Balani. And if you are in USA, the number to dial is 646-716-7979. Bear in mind, it's a USA number, so if you are calling from any other country, you might get charged. We would love to have you have your input. So do drop us a line or do give us a call in. The number again is 646-716-7979. Right, Meera is a well-being and a productivity expert, and she has 13 years experience of working in an investment banking and a wealth management. She developed a keen eye for spotting trends and opportunities for improvement, which she now brings to her coaching together with her passion for leading a healthy and a joyful life. I personally know Meera, and she really inspires me because she's super fit. I would love to be like her. She really motivates her people through her workflow, speeches, live stream, and YouTube videos. And she's on a mission to help as many people as possible to lead a healthier and a fulfilling life. Meera is going to be talking about how to create daily successful habits that supports you to be your best, have more energy, and help you focus to grow on your business and lead a lifestyle you love. So without further ado, Meera, are you on the line with me?
Yes, I am. Hi, Meena. Hello, everyone.
Hi. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. It's great to be on the show with you, Meena.
Yes, it's lovely to have you here, actually. So are we enjoying the weather in UK these days? It's bright and sunny.
Yes, and warm, although some people were complaining this morning it was humid.
I'm sure it is for you because you are quite into your health and fitness, right? It's good weather to run around and jog in the park.
Yes, we'll walk around a little bit today. So.
Oh, great. So is that how you start your morning? I mean, this is one of the routines you have for yourself to be successful, is having an exercise or time for yourself.
Yes, so my morning usually involves some form of exercise. How long I exercise depends on the day and what's going on during the day. So I tend to go running once or twice a week, every Saturday. So some people tend to go to church on Sunday. I go to Park Run, which is a really friendly, organized run. And it's available all around the world, I think. I don't know how many countries it spreads across, but it's a great environment. And I also love volunteering there. So that is definitely part of my exercise.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. website, you are well-being and a productive coach for business owners and freelancers. How did you get into coaching for business owners?
So when I started my coaching journey, most of my clients when I was doing my diploma were other aspiring coaches. Some were people working and looking to change jobs potentially. And one of the things that many people, especially the other aspiring coaches or other people that wanted, that were running their business, that was also a fitness trainer, some of their main challenges was like, how do they manage their studies together with their otherwise life and work and everything that they have to do? And I must say, initially, when I left my corporate job and I started running my company, initially I thought I wanted to help people who run their businesses, but also people who work in corporates. However, over the last year or so, I discovered that I'm primarily surrounded wherever I go by people now working for themselves, running their own business, freelancers. And all of a sudden I thought, well, actually, these are most of the people that I tend to be working with and to be surrounded with. So I'll just narrow down to the people that I can associate more with. I think that there was the other part that I started associating a little bit less with people working in the corporate.
Okay. I mean, you personally have 13 years of working in the banking industry, right? Did you ever feel like you wanted that time out from it because people, like you said, quite worn out, run down, working in a corporate environment?
So I, back in 2007, I quit my investment banking job and I decided to follow my passion for travel and experiencing life. And that was quite a conscious decision. And I didn't have anything to go to back to. Everyone was quite shocked. All my colleagues were like, where are you going next? And I was like, I don't have another job. I'm going to South America to fulfill my dream of trekking up volcanoes and exploring glaciers, seeing Iguazu Falls, going to the Amazon jungle and seeing wildlife. So for me, that was definitely part of being in a role where I wasn't completely fulfilled. I think that was one of the main things, and I wasn't quite happy with my personal life at the time. But even then, one thing I was really good at was exercising. So I used to go to the gym in the evenings. We had a gym inside the building. And sometimes even I would go at lunchtime as well for some of the classes, which were amazing.
Okay, great. So what are the three simple and effective ways to keep your energy levels and focus throughout the day? And this is something you sort of coach and help people with, isn't it?
Yeah. So sometimes the simplest things can be really, really effective. And one thing that I've noticed with my clients, when I get them to analyze how they spend their time, the things that come up with is that sometimes they work for very prolonged periods of time, sitting at their desks and staring at screens and not taking a break. So taking a break is a really important thing, and it has a few different reasons. One of them is if you take a break, regular breaks, it depends down to you, and I can talk a little bit more of the different options. But one is it gives your eyes a break, and then that prevents your eyes from being strained. And also, depending on your posture, then it's also good to stretch and walk around and make sure that you're sitting well. And that, again, it's similar to the exercise because it gets the oxygen running through your body and it gets the oxygen to your head, to your brain, and then that helps you to focus better. And one thing that I suggest to clients is to use something like protectyourvision.org, especially when they're on the laptops.
This is
a website where you can go and you can either use the default, which is like 20-20, which means I think every 20 minutes you take 20 seconds break, or you can create your own timeline of maybe 45 minutes and then 5 minutes break. And so, and also they have some exercises that you can do for the eyes. So again, that all helps to look after your eyes. That, so that's one of my, that's my first step.
Okay.
Well, how about you, Mina? Do you take breaks when you're working?
Yeah, definitely, because I am a sort of person, I don't like sitting down for too long. I get bored. I have to be like, and I need to get up and have a cup of tea, or sometimes I just go for a walk around the block, or I probably can't say, so I'll say I kind of suffer from sitting down syndrome. I can't sit for too long. So yeah, taking a break is something I would suggest for everybody, because I think it helps you focus a bit better as well, because when you are staring at something for too long, I kind of feel I lose the concentration after a while. So sometimes having a break, you get back to it. It really depends on the work I'm doing as well. I mean, sometimes you have to be really focused and concentrate. Some work you can sort of, okay, you can go back into it, right? So I think my days, it depends on what sort of things I'm doing. It really depends. But yeah, definitely taking a break is something I would suggest. Especially like everything is so screened. Everything is like everything, like the phones we use, the computers, laptops, iPads, you know, everything is watching over the screen. So it spoils your eyes. Definitely does. And especially kids, I find it like at such a small age, everything is hooked onto screens now. So I would definitely suggest anybody, even kids or parents, not prolong the screen use, basically. But such is the world, and we cannot get away from not using it, but at the same time we have to realize that it has its disadvantages as well if you overuse it as well. So definitely.
The other really important thing about taking a break is that your brain, especially when you're doing something productive where you really need to engage your brain, something your brain can only work for a certain time without a break, and then it needs the break so you can relax, recover a bit, and then you can put it back to work as well. So yes, you can get in the flow of things, and sometimes you forget about time, but there is also that aspect of having a fine balance between tiring your brain.
It's like taking a cat nap, you know, for 20 minutes. Mm. And I remember I used to do it at one point, and it really, literally, I used to put 20 minutes on a timer, and then as soon as the timer goes off, and I was up again, and it really helped me. I felt like I had more energy to do things, especially like after lunch, you feel like, oh, I could do with more energy. So having a cat nap as well, I personally would suggest it, if that time allows you, or if you're in a position to do it. I'm sure not many people can, but I was brought up in Kenya, and taking a nap was quite taken for granted. Like, that's a hot country, people tend to take a nap for an hour or so before they go back into work, and I think the weather probably helps. Whereas so it's quite a culture in many of the developing countries, like even India, and I've read somewhere even countries like Spain or something like that, just taking a nap. Yeah.
They have their siesta, they're famous for it.
Yeah, that's why, like, sleep is so important for your energy level and productivity, right? Having a good amount of sleep as well, right? That can make you...
It's really, really important.
Yeah.
Okay. The other thing that people, especially women, we think we're really good at multitasking. Yeah. And I used to pride myself on this, and now I realize that, actually, you can't multitask. Your brain can only do one thing at a time. So what you do is switch from one thing to another. Where I multitask is ironing and maybe listening to a podcast or a video or maybe talking to my parents. I don't know how good that is for the brain, but probably I hope it's a bit less taxing. But for other things, say if you're writing a report or an email to a client and then you check your Facebook and then you check something else and then your phone buzzes.
You are
literally switching from one task to the other. And what happens is your brain needs to recalibrate every time when you switch tasks. So you're killing time. On one side, you're wasting time because you need to recalibrate to the tasks that you were doing before. The other one is it takes up your mental energy and it tires the prefrontal cortex of your brain because you're trying to, what was that again? So there,
Yeah, I must admit I'm a victim of multitasking, and that's the reason I sometimes feel like I don't accomplish a lot, because I start off with good intention of doing something and I end up doing something else. But how do you break out of these habits?
It is down to a bit of discipline, but actually one of the things we didn't mention in terms of morning routine was having mindfulness or meditation, things like that, and they tend to help you with being able to focus and to concentrate better. Do you meditate?
Yeah, definitely, because I sometimes feel like I would start off something and then I end up doing something else, and I'm like, how did that happen? But it's like that's being a victim of multitasking, you know. Like you want to do everything in one go and then nothing gets done in the process.
Do you meditate or do any form of mindfulness?
Yes. Most of the days I do. The days I'm kind of running late or something, then I'll probably just sit down for 5 minutes. But yes, I have sort of very conscious of it from quite a while now. And it's helping me, definitely helping me, but I feel like I need to do a bit more. I think I'm just not there yet. But I suppose we just live such a busy life. We all do live such a busy life. We have so much to do in a day, and there's only 24 hours in a day. So, the other question I have for you is, how can you help people manage their time properly? If people like have a problem managing their time, what would you advise them to do?
So the first thing is that you need to know how you're spending your time before you can do anything about it. So quite a few clients come to me and they say, oh, Mira, I want to improve how I manage my time. I know I'm not using it at my best. But I get them to do this exercise where they record how they spend their time for a week. And the results when they come back, they're quite shocked because they realize that they're not spending the They knew they weren't spending the time very effectively, but that exercise usually shows them either how ineffectively they're spending it, potentially even more ineffectively than they thought. It can show them that they're not having any me time, and that's very common, especially with ladies and busy moms like you are. And so that self-care, and they're finding that they're quite stretched for time, which they know already, but a lot of sometimes even small things, which is actually quite a big thing, like even eating can pop up, and then you're like, oh. For one client, I pointed out that I asked, well, when do you have lunch? And she said, oh, I don't. I have a cup of tea and a biscuit. Which, again, we were talking about the brain. The brain needs nutrition, and what food you consume. The food that you consume can support your brain, or it can make you sluggish. So if you eat stodgy food, maybe things like pasta and so on, they can make you sleep and they sleepy rather than focused and alert. So if you want to have energy, it's good to have things like nuts, fish, avocado, broccoli, or lighter stuff. but also rich in omega-3, and omega-3 is what nourishes your brain, because your brain is made of fat, or it requires like fatty omega-3 to function well. So that's also something that helps with the energy and focus.
Mm. Right, great. So, Mira, I know you were working in the banking industry before. What inspired you to start your coaching business?
What inspired me was seeing far too many people work long hours, sitting at their desks, eating at their desks, starting at 8 and working way past 6. Not going out of the building at all, or maybe sneaking in to get some lunch and then coming back and eating that lunch at desk. In fact, I remember when I was in Canary Wharf, some people didn't even know the outside. So if they knew the underground part, I don't know. Have you been to Canary Wharf?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. So many people seem to use it like as an underground maze where all the shops and restaurants are, and they hardly ever go over ground. I think it's ridiculous. And so I wanted to help people to lead a healthier lifestyle and help them to get more exercise in their routine and eat better and get out and enjoy life a bit more. Because it just felt like it was all work, and I love what I do. And also I was always very interested in psychology, so it dates back from my childhood. I had psychology at school in Bulgaria. I did an elective even when I was doing my economics degree, which was in psychology. So I've always been really interested in personal development. And I helped to organize personal development events at my last, at Barclays Wealth, where I last worked. So it's been all along.
Yeah, that's quite interesting, because I think something always leads us to do something else, right? I mean, for me personally, I used to work in the city. After kids, I was working quite locally, and I still do a couple of days a week, but for me, it took a time out in a hospital to realize, oh my God, there's more to life than just working for somebody else. And that was my wake-up call. So I think people get wake-up calls in different forms in life. And in some ways, it was a blessing in disguise, because it was like, oh my God, what am I doing with myself? I could be doing so much better than this, instead of just running from a 9-to-5 job. And that's what inspired me to be working for myself. I'm still in the process of branding myself. I'll be running my first workshop hopefully in September. The date has been set, 15th of September. I'm just getting everything together. Yeah, so watch out for that email, watch out for that Facebook blog or something. So yeah, I'm quite excited, and it's all about speaking to inspire, actually. I have been quite something I had in my head for quite a while, and it's taken me this long to put it out in front of people, but something, it's more like a platform I want to create. Let me get my notes, because I had things I had sort of in my head, and I have this habit of putting down in a piece of paper. I just wanted people, it's more like I'm making the invisible visible, more like a storytelling platform. At the same time, you get the confidence. And it's more like articulating themselves and speaking up and being honest about what you really are and what you can invite in your life, basically. And more and more so, it's about connecting to people. I think that's my main driver, is the connection and the communication side of it. So I'm kind of working behind the scenes to get it on the platform now. So yeah, the date is 15th of September, and it's about Speak to Inspire workshop. So watch out for that, Mina.
Exciting. I'm very excited for you, Mina.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Great news.
So there's a lot I still need to do. And like I said, I'm still working on it. So, yes, so you are on here, Clarity Unplugged show by me, Navalani. We are almost halfway through the show, guys. If you want to dial in, the number to do so is 646-716-7979. We would love to have your input. And I have lovely Meera on the line with me today. Meera is a productivity coach, and she really inspires me. I have seen her on YouTube. I've seen her doing live stream on Facebook, and she is really into forcing people to take time out and create space for yourself in your life, because life is too short. Before you know it, sometimes it just passes you by. Mm. And what I love about Meera is she's an exercise junkie, right, Meera?
Not quite a junkie.
I love exercise.
In moderation, on Saturday, I met someone who even himself admitted to be addicted to running. This guy runs 7 days a week, sometimes more than once a week, more than once a day. And he runs like close to 10 miles, 6, 7, 8 miles or something like that. It's ridiculous. That is someone that is a bit fanatic. I tend to do anything from 5 minutes to 30, 40 minutes, 45 minutes. Yeah, it depends on what I'm doing. So I'm doing a variety of things, a little bit every day, because it's good for the body. But no, I'm not a fanatic.
Yeah, this is all about creating habits, right? I think I personally firmly believe that once you create a habit for anything in life, that's what keeps you going, because even like exercise is a habit, meditation is a habit, and eating healthy is a habit as well. And it all comes down to being self-disciplined about it, right?
Yes. Because
everything takes a conscious effort of doing it. And
absolutely.
And I find people who are disciplined and who put these things into place in their daily life are people who are really successful. Like losing weight, sometimes people think, oh my God, I'm not doing it. Like I sometimes complain, I'm not losing weight. I'm not disciplined enough to like stop myself from eating that biscuit, or somebody offers me a piece of chocolate, I'm like, okay, go on then, I'll have a small piece. So everything comes down to being disciplined, right, Meera?
Mm. I think one easy thing is actually not having it in the house. So last Friday, I think I was a little bit tired at the end of the day, and I thought, oh, I feel like chocolate. And then I thought, oh, there's no chocolate in the house. I can't even have chocolate. So sometimes not having it, it's an easy way not to have something. And I did think, I was planning to go, I went for a walk, and I thought, I could go via the shop to buy some, but I didn't. Conscious decision. Yeah. I didn't. I just went for a walk along the river. So sometimes it can be easier. Yeah, it's a lot easier to not to have something if you don't have it, because if you have to go out and get it, you may not do so.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, next one for you is challenges faced by new entrepreneurs, right? I mean, how challenging is it for new business owners to, let's say, put themselves out there, to be disciplined? I mean, you are kind of more established now, but going through the initial phase, how hard or how easy is it for you?
Well, it depends, I think, on your attitude and how you see things. It definitely takes some time and energy, especially energy. Well, both, really, out of you to go out and meet new people, especially at networking events. One of the things that I find is that when I go to these events, you're buzzing, there is so much information, there's so much high, you're on a high. But then when you come back, it does kind of, you're still quite, especially the evening ones, which I think most of the ones that I tend to go to are in the evenings. Then you come back, you're buzzing, and then that affects my sleep because it pushes my sleep back. So it can take its toll, but one thing that I did do was to limit the amount of events that I go to per week, and I don't necessarily go every single week. I will have to increase my going to events in the coming months, but I am very careful of that, because last year I was going out two to three events per week, and it was definitely impacting my own energy, and then I had to bring that in. And how are you finding it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, my schedule is very much dependent on my kids as well, because as much as I want to go, I'm quite conscious of not going out for too long, because it's kind of finding the balance. Because I don't want one thing to happen at the expense of other, you know, like, then it doesn't justify it for me personally.
So
there was a phase when I was like doing more, so I personally have cut down a bit. So I'm speaking at one of the events in August, and then I don't have much happening, but yeah, maybe September I'll start back again. But yeah, it's finding that balance and then what works for you as a person. And like I said, I really learn the art of discipline. I get carried away with sort of so many things, and I kind of get lost in the process, if you call it.
Something
I need to really learn from you, being productive and using my time wisely. So yeah, definitely, guys. So one of the tips I think I learned from you was actually recording the time I spend, and maybe that maybe made me aware of how much time I'm actually wasting in the process.
The other thing is to kind of think is what events are worth your time, and evaluating the reward you get on the back of that, and thinking, okay, do I really need to go to this event, or what would be the benefit of me going to that event, and weighing these things up, because, yeah, like I said, last year at some point I was going to 2-3 events and every week, and it was, especially going to 3 events a week, it can be very, very draining, and there is only so much you can be effective in, and you need to be able to recover, you need to have time for your family, for your friends, the other things in your life, and it's about making it more about quality rather than quantity.
Definitely. Right, I have lovely Mira here on the line with me today, guys. If you do want to connect with her, her website is ruttercoaching.com, www.ruttercoaching.com. She is all about helping you with your productivity and well-being. Mira is an accredited personal performance coach. Right. I love the title, by the way, Mira. Performance coach.
that's the diploma that I did.
Coaching. Right, perfect. Right. The other thing I was going to ask you today, Mira, is do you inspire to work with women, or you do not have a general thing that women are my only target? I'm happy to work with men as well. And because do you find it's the man who suffers from all this, or it's just the woman?
Admittedly, most of my clients have been women, but I have had a couple of men. I don't know whether the coincidence, well, in particular with time, no, I've actually had 3. One was a student, a medical student from Bulgaria, and then I worked also with another coach, psychologist, who was trying to combine the two, and he was suffering from procrastination and kind of moving forward. So it happens. It's not necessarily whether people are facing certain issues. It could be that, but sometimes it's whether women are more likely to seek for help. And that's a
good discussion. I don't know which one it is.
Yes, I think that's probably what it is. So as a woman, I find we are happy to talk about our issues, whereas men sometimes sort of don't find it that easy. I don't know, that's my personal experience. I'm not sure it applies to everybody, but that's what I find. Yeah, perfect. Right, Neil. Right, the other question I have for you today is, how do you stay focused, basically?
So you remove distractions, so things like notifications on your phone, pop-ups of email. So depending on what you're doing, is trying to focus on that one thing at a time. And earlier we were talking about multitasking, so or task switching. So it's trying to reduce any of those as much as possible. It's also about if you have clutter around your desk, if you're working on desk, try and have that clear, because that creates a physical clutter. And then the other thing that helps with focus is removing or mitigating, really. I don't think you can ever completely remove, but mitigating mental clutter. So if you have all these things of, oh, I need to do X and I need to do Y, and all these things are going in your head, sounds familiar?
Yes.
So then the thing to do is to write them down, put these things on paper, because once you get things on paper, they get out of your head. And it's about scheduling them as well in your diary, so you know, okay, this is when I'm going to do this. So it's allowing that time to have uninterrupted, to be able to focus on something. Also, it's about managing, if you're working from home, it's about managing the people that live with you, be that family, partner, cohabitants, to know that you're working and not to disturb you.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that especially some moms have shared with me, that their children or their husbands, they almost kind of don't, they said, oh, you're at home, so you're not working, you know, that kind of behavior, or they don't take it seriously enough. And sometimes it's about, no, actually, this is important to me, and I need to focus, I need to concentrate. So it is about managing those who live with you as well to respect your time.
Okay. I can see a caller on here. I'm going to check and see who that person is. Just bear with me. Hello? Hello? I'm not sure. Okay. All right, Mira. Okay, so I thought I had a caller in, but never mind. Right, yes, staying focused. It's live, but I can't hear anybody talking, so never mind. Okay, cool. Right, Mira, I kind of lost my train of thought there for a minute, but I know, Mira, I know me and you have worked personally together for the past 6 months, so I kind of know you on a more personal basis, and I, whenever I see you, I kind of really admire you, because I find you very focused and very dedicated and very disciplined. I'm like, okay, I really need to do my, get to the Mira stage.
To help.
But yes, I do admire you, and you are speaking at a couple of events pretty soon, right? You're emceeing at an event tomorrow, right, Mira?
Yes, I am. Going to be a challenging one by the looks of it, because of the room layout, but
okay.
I'm up for a challenge.
Yes, exciting. I don't think I'm going to that event tomorrow due to personal reasons, but yes. Yes, good luck, and I'm sure you'll do a great job, Mira.
Thank you, Mina.
Do you want to talk about the programs you run? Do you want to tell the audience more about what you offer, the programs you have?
Yeah, I'm happy to talk about it. So it's a seven-step program, and it starts with getting to know and understand yourself better, because we tend to quite often just delve into things and carry on with the way things are. And sometimes it's good to take that break and step back and think about what are your priorities, what's really important to you, what do you value, and make sure that you live in alignment with your value and with your priorities. And that helps for you then to manage how you spend your time. Because when you look at how you're spending your time, and then when you look at, am I living in alignment with my values, with my priorities, then you kind of start figuring out, oh, this is what I need to tweak and this is what I need to do differently. And it helps you be to prioritize. So that's why that kind of first getting to understand yourself stage is so important. And then the next step is about the time analysis, which is what we've talked about. So people would go away and track how exactly they spend their time, and then we would look at that about what has been going on in there and what they can do differently, and I share my observations with them. But it's also a really good exercise, because as soon as you start doing this, it brings awareness. So, and what I say is, unless you're aware of something, you can't change it. And the moment you start being more conscious and present with what you're doing, that is the moment that you start changing your behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you ask yourself, what should I be doing right now? Is that what I want to be doing? Is that helping me with what I want to do? That really kind of can be that switch for you to be, to use your words, more disciplined and to actually get on track. We look at what type of things then to cause procrastination and overwhelm. There are all sorts of different reasons for that. And it's understanding how you can break these down and have that vision and breaking, like the longer term vision, but then breaking that down into more small manageable steps, and that's quite important, because quite often that could be what causes overwhelm, because it's too much, it's too big, you don't know where to start. But when you break things down into milestones, and then these milestones into smaller steps, it can help you move on. Any questions so far?
No, it's quite interesting. I'm just listening to you. Go on, carry on.
And so within also the second step, you have the aspect of getting to understand how to apply different time management techniques, like the Eisenhower matrix, which is urgent and important, prioritizing from A to C, and these kind of things. And then people would go away and they would do again the tracking and the planning and see how things are improving. And then in the third step is to show people the financial aspects of time. And as you know, I come from a finance background, and I also have a diploma in financial coaching as well. So I did the training on that. And we all have 24 hours. Nobody, the one thing nobody can buy back is time. And adding that financial aspect to time has been one of the biggest eye-openers for my clients. And I think that quite often is the thing that is like, oh, right, okay, now I see what the implications of me wasting my time or spending my time doing certain things where it's not my zone of genius, as some people say. It's actually really costing me, and that can yeah, that has quite a big effect on everyone I've spoken to so far.
So
it's really the whole point is about playing to your strengths, to your unique abilities, and looking to pass on other things to others. And that way, you'll feel more energized because you do what you love, right?
Yeah, definitely. I was just thinking about distractions these days, right? I know to stay focused and all that, but we live in such a high-paced world these days, you know, with this social media and phones, and as much as I find their valuable assets and gadgets, I just find it as a distraction myself. In some ways, sometimes I think I wish I didn't have them.
Yeah, they're these things of like love or hate, aren't they?
Yeah, they're
so great. Yeah. So, you know what? You actually guessed the fourth step, because it's about energy and focus, and we talk about distractions and energy saver. That is one of the other things that we look at, is about how to preserve your energy, because there's so many things that drain our energy and we don't even realize and understand what's going on. And sometimes these could be things like relationships as well. It's about looking at how you can detox relationships, how you can save energy, how you can remove those personal energy sink triggers, as I call them, pests. So there are all sorts of different things that you can do that also feed into managing your energy and focus, in addition to the stuff that we discussed earlier.
Yeah, definitely. Sorry, your next step was, you were talking about your steps.
Yeah. And then the fifth step is looking at what we've been talking about so far, those daily success habits that support you to be at your best. And it goes from waking up until you go to bed, that whole day cycle, and what you do within a day and how that evolves, and what are the different things that you can do during the day so that you can be more productive, so you can be more focused, and you can also feel more rested and recharged as well, because that is really important. And one of the main things that is one of the key things that is discussed is sleep, the importance of sleep, the quality of sleep, because if you don't sleep well, then that impacts your next day, that impacts how your attention, your memory, your ability to problem solve, your metabolism. So there are a lot of the sleep is actually can impact so much on how productive you are and how you feel, your well-being, everything.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
I never used to watch much TV. I haven't watched TV for quite a while. And my son the other day got me into Suits. You know the program called Suits? I got hooked into it. On Friday, I ended up watching till 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like thinking to myself, oh my God, that's my Saturday wasted there. Because the next day you wake up feeling so tired because you had less sleep. Definitely sleep is important, very important.
Mm. But you see, one of the things that happens is that by watching TV, looking at your phone, your computer, all the LED screens, they emit blue light. And that blue light is the light that you have during the day. So that suppresses the production of the melatonin hormone in your brain, which tells you it's time to go to sleep. So, and also it activates and agitates your brain because of all the stuff that is happening. So they're like two different aspects. One is the sleep hormone gets suppressed, but also your brain is a bit too active because you're watching all this moving stuff and you're quite involved in what's going on. And I know sometimes people doze off to the TV. I remember doing that when I was little, but maybe that's more tiredness rather than TV always making you fall asleep. So it's generally isn't a good practice. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. Perfect. So those are your five steps, right?
Yeah, and there are two more. So the next one is about mindset and overcoming blocks and limiting beliefs, because there are things that can really get into people's ways about progressing further. Sometimes things were like not feeling good enough, not recognizing their own worth. With women, it's quite common that we have imposter syndrome. And I must say, I've had my moments, so I'm not necessarily an expert on that, but I think it exists at any level. And it's about how you deal with that and gain that confidence, because for one of my clients, that was one of the big changes for her, to be able to go out and get more clients and focus on, yes, everything around productivity, but beginning to understand her own worth and what she can bring to her clients was a big step change for her.
Yeah, so that's session six.
And then the final step is about reviewing the progress and seeing how far people have come, because you need to review and see your progress, because then that helps you to move forward. Our brain tends to be more negatively biased about what we haven't achieved, what we haven't done, what we still need to do. So it's really important for progress and to keep going, especially when it's tough. It is about taking stock about what you've achieved and appreciating, seeing all the learnings, what you could do differently, and how things can be done in the future and what you can improve. So that's the seventh step.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Oh, my God. We've been talking for nearly an hour, Mira. Do you realize that?
Wow. 50 minutes and going.
Yes. Right. I have lovely Mira on the line with me here today, guys. And contact with her, please, go on the website, go www.buttercoaching.com. So, Mira, three things you leave your guest with today. Yes, you leave your guest with today.
Out of everything. Well, I guess number one is get a good night's sleep, because that affects your next day, and get enough good quality sleep. And that means at least 7 hours for 95% of us. And then focus on one thing. Try to not do task switching or multitasking. And get some exercise, even 5 to 10 minutes in the morning. Will get that oxygen flowing through your body and to your brain, so you can really focus and have energy during the day. So these are my three tips.
Yeah,
exercise first thing in the morning, sleep at night, and do one thing at a time.
Oh, yeah, perfect. Right, lovely. Thank you, Mira, for her being on the show today. I'm sure the listeners had great value listening to you. This is your host, Mina Bulani, and I will be soon launching my own program in September. So if you want to drop me a line, do so on my personal Facebook page, Mina Bulani, and I have an amazing person on the show in the next couple of weeks. She is also a health and lifestyle therapist, and she's a nutrition as well, Pranita. So looking forward to having her as well, guys. And with that, I end the call. Thank you, Mira, for being on my show today, and thank you guys for listening. Have a great evening and good night, everybody.
Thank you very much, Mina, and thank you, everyone, for listening. If you have any questions, feel free to follow up with Mina or myself.
All right. Thank you. Bye, Mira.
Bye-bye.
Coach on Fire Radio.